He'll be with us 7 o'clock each night preaching. Pray about that meeting. Pray about those days together. That the Lord would meet with us. We need a good meeting with God. Amen. Y'all believe that? Amen. Amen. We do need that. And so I'll bring this thought to a close tonight. And I'm not going to preach an hour and 10 minutes. It ain't in me. Y'all be lucky to get 10 minutes out of me tonight. Amen. Hard as y'all rode me this morning. Amen. But we want to try to be a help and a blessing to you tonight. So just look at these verses again. The Bible said, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. The Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. He said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. Moses fled from before it. We preached on that the last week, and Mary has been talking about that around the house all week, about run like Moses or something like that. Amen. I forget what she's been saying. Amen. I've been cracking up about it all week long. That's what you do. Amen. We don't handle snakes. We run from snakes. Amen. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. And the Bible said that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto thee. The Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. He put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. He said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. It shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land. The water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. If the Lord will help us, we'll continue our thoughts, signs that you've been with God. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for bringing us by this way one more time. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray our gathering here tonight would not just be a religious exercise and a religious gathering and a church setting and community, but Lord, may it have, Lord, some spiritual impact and benefits, Lord, to our life. And Lord, I'm a preaching tonight to the church and the people of God, Lord, things that, Lord, we need some evidence of in our own life in this hour and this day. And I pray tonight, Lord, you'd guard us from becoming offended, and Lord, guard our hearts from, Lord, being disinterested, and Lord, guard our minds from wandering. And Lord, I pray tonight by the help of the Spirit of the Lord as he speaks tonight, Lord, you'd cause us to set our eyes upon truth, and Lord, to lift up the challenge that'll be laid to our very hearts this evening. And all that you do, we'll thank you and bless you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We've been looking in these opening 9 verses, understanding in the context that they are literally a continuation of Moses' experience in an encounter with God beginning in chapter number 3. In chapter number 3, in the opening verses of that chapter, we have what is known to you and I as that experience in Moses' life known as Moses and the burning bush. Moses is out tending to the flock and the sheep and doing his own thing and making it from day to day in a wilderness land. And what we find is on this particular day in the life of Moses that God is going to appear to him in a very special and a very real way. My, how God appeared to him in an unusual way, in a very real way, a very personal way in Moses' life. We've said a lot of things about this over the last several weeks and times that we preach from this thought. But really, we understand in this experience and story of the burning bush, this literally would be one of the great experiences with God that Moses would have in his life. And I believe from even his conception and his birth that Moses had a very unique relationship with God. But when you study Moses' life, you'll find there are times that God just seems to reveal himself and his truth to this particular man in very, very ways in which he sits Moses down one-on-one and lets Moses have an experience that Moses will never get over. I believe even the very last experience that Moses would have with God in his earthly life, God took Moses off with just the two of them and let him look over into Canaan, and God took his life from him and buried him himself, that even in that closing hour and that closing moment of Moses' life, I believe is really a reflection of what Moses' life had been, that he lived his life in the presence of God. We think about Exodus chapter number 3, things are really going to pick up in Moses' life from this experience in the wilderness at the burning bush. And we've looked at several things, and I don't even know that I even want to embark upon trying to give all of this back to us again, but amen, it was unique and it was unsuspecting, and amen, it was something that really became sanctifying as God was going to, through this experience, commission the life of Moses to be that deliverer for the children of Israel and lead them out of the Egyptian bondage that they had been in for quite some time. I will say this, that when all this experience is taking place, that Moses, he said himself as he had fled from Egypt and had come into the family and into the acquaintance in the community of a man by the name of Reuel. Reuel was this head of his family, and he gave one of his daughters to Moses to be his wife. Amen. A woman by the name, his daughter by the name of Zipporah. Amen. Ain't you women glad your mom and daddy didn't name you Zipporah? Amen. That sounds like a battle axe, and she kind of was in so many ways. And Zipporah and then Moses, they have a son, and Moses calls the name of his son Gershom, and it was a testimony to how Moses failed in this wilderness land. He said, we're going to call him Gershom because I have been a stranger in a strange land. And so there's something going on in Moses' life in this wilderness. There is a strangeness. There is an exile. There is a loneliness there. Even though his family's there, there's just something missing in his life. My friend, God filled that void by amen, appearing to Moses in Exodus chapter number 3. What a significant experience this was in the life of Moses. What a experience, and not only in that moment, but throughout the years, Moses would be able to draw strength upon, having spent some time in the presence of the Lord on this holy ground. Amen. And so we've come to, in the midst of all of this, that God is revealing himself to Moses and getting ready to send him back to Egypt. The concern that is in our text tonight in the heart and the mind of Moses is, and when I go down there and I tell them what you have told me to tell them, when I embark on trying to accomplish what you're sending me down there to do, he said, here's what they're going to say. That is Egypt and the children of Israel. He said, they will say, verse 1, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And so Moses is concerned about some evidence. If I'm going to go do all of this, you're sending me to do, there is going to have to be some evidence and some sign that, amen, I ain't just winging it and I ain't just stepping out here being a lone ranger, but that God has spoken to me and appeared to me and that I have been with God. God understanding this, I love how he doesn't rebuke and he's patiently working with Moses throughout the remainder of these first 9 verses that we've read tonight. What God does is he lifts 3 signs in the life of Moses that are going to be evidence not only in this experience with God, this is where he's going to get these signs, but we'll see tonight in the close of the thought when he goes back to Egypt, amen, he'll bear the fruit and the evidence and the sign that he's been with God and everybody's going to know he's been with God, and what a blessed deliverance that he and Israel's going to experience. And so we're using the idea that what God is doing is substantiating in this experience, amen, by these 3 signs. They're the evidence that he has been with God. And so Egypt, they and them typifying the world and God's people and the Israelites, they are struggling. Both the world and God's people need to see, amen, someone who has this kind of evidence that they've been with God. I will say that one of the New Testament comparative texts and comparative verses and thoughts that we find is found in the life of Peter and John in Acts chapter number 4. And in verse number 13, that, amen, upon being apprehended, they began to examine the life of these 2 men of God. Amen, and them early Christians, because of their boldness and their stand that, amen, they had, people began to watch them, Brother A.L. And here's what they said. They said, we perceive these are ignorant and unlearned men. They ain't got much education. They, amen, they don't have some of the great training that, amen, others have received in worldly ventures and endeavors. But, amen, let it be known, we do understand this. These men have been with Jesus. Amen. There was some evidence. They didn't wear it on a badge on their lapel. They didn't wear a band around their arm. They didn't have it tattooed on their forearm. They didn't have to make posts on social media about, amen, some experience they had being with Jesus. Amen. There was a crowd that got around them that, amen, said, you know what? It is evident they are ignorant and unlearned, but, amen, they bear in their life signs that they have been with Jesus. Amen. That phrase, been with, it denotes a union, but, amen, union by specific ways, union by association and companionship and process and resemblance and possession. Amen. They said of those men in the New Testament, these men, they are possessed by Christ. They are possessed with the cause. And there is evidence that in fact these men have been with Jesus. That's what Moses is desiring, some evidence in his life. Amen. Now, amen, he knows that God has appeared to him. Amen. Moses, it's already been made personal in Moses' life. Amen. But Moses, my friend, understands that. Amen. There's a crowd down there in Egypt that's been crying themselves to sleep. Amen. There's a crowd struggling under burdens day by day that long for deliverance, that, amen, they need to see somebody with some evidence that, amen, there is victory in the Lord, that, amen, that there has been somebody who's been with God, that, amen, bears those signs within their life. Amen. Everybody under the sound of my voice this evening, amen, there are people in your little circle of life, amen, that desperately need to see that Amen. You possess the evidence of having a real personal relationship and experience with God. Amen. We said, and I don't want to bog down too much here, but amen, they've seen enough hypocrites. Amen. They're seeing enough folk that go to church and say one thing and then live another. Amen. This world and amen, people all around us need to see, amen, some real children of God that, amen, bear in their bosom and bear in their life and bear in their spirit and bear in the way they talk and bear out in the way they live, amen, that they have the signs, amen, with God. Oh, that we could, amen, be with God to the degree and have this experience that others would take notice, amen, that He has made the difference in our lives. That's what Moses is saying, and he gets into all kinds of things later in chapter number 4. He done made a handful of excuses in chapter 3. And what Moses is saying is, I ain't great enough. I don't speak well enough. Amen. I ain't all of that. God, you got the wrong man. Amen. And God keeps saying, I got the right man. I know everything about you. I know what I'm going to do with your life. Amen. And Moses said, well, Lord, all I know is, amen, what I've been called to be, amen, is greater than I can be in myself. Amen. Give me some sign and evidence that you've been with me. Can I say, when it comes to being a Christian, that's more than any of us can do in the power of ourselves. Amen. Amen. You're going to have to spend some time with God. And the outflow and the overflow of spending time with God will be some evidence when you get around others, they'll know you've been with God. Amen. Amen. And so what are they? Amen. I preached out the first point on last week and we give you the introduction the week before that. And so we're almost on some new ground, but we noted in this first sign, the casting down of the rod and it being turned to a serpent and God telling Moses to take it by the tail, that this represents a sign in our life of courage over the serpent. The serpent in the Word of God is most always, not every time, but most often a type of the devil himself. This is what he chose as his first cloak and his first garment, if you will, that he clothed himself with in the Garden of Eden and the temptation of mankind. He came to man in the form of a serpent. And throughout the scripture, we see the devil referenced as a dragon and a serpent type creature. And so God says, what is that in your hand? He said, a rod. He cast it on the ground at God's command. And it became a serpent. And what Moses did, amen, shows that he had a fear about the serpent. He's fleeing from it. Amen. He's on the run. That serpent is chasing him. That serpent has produced fear in his heart. And though he thinks he's running from the serpent, literally what the serpent is doing is driving him from the presence of God. But God says, in my presence, you don't have to fear. Now, Moses, if you run up on a snake because you've been busting down hedges and being a fool, amen, you might ought to run and you might ought to flee from those serpents. Moses, you have spent time with God. And so, amen, I'm taking fear out of your heart. Amen, and you can stand and turn against the serpent and have courage by what you have received from my presence. And so, amen, Moses, by word from God, received courage, amen, to resist the serpent, amen, and eventually take it by the tail, amen, and showing a victory over the serpent in Moses' life. Amen. I think of the New Testament, amen, where James said, if we will resist the devil, he will flee from us. Amen. Now, if you're going to have encounters with the devil because you've been a fool, amen, and you've been running through hedges and boundaries that have been set up, amen, then my friend, you, amen, you ought to be afraid and you ought to be concerned about, amen, being bit and being poisoned at and spiritual destruction. Amen, but can I say those that have been with God, amen, they don't live in fear of the devil. Amen, they don't, my friend, cower down. Amen, we're not the ones on the run. We're the ones that, amen, by faith and the power of God that at His Word are able, amen, to courageously resist the devil, amen, and have victory over all his devices. Amen. That serpent was represented in Egypt's land. That was their god. That was their choice symbol of all the Egyptian empire and kingdom. Amen. They believed it was a deity. Amen. They worshiped the serpent. Amen. And Moses has got to go down to Egypt. We'll see in a moment. Amen. He's got to know that, amen, he has courage to, amen, because he's been with God, to be able, amen, to deal with all that is represented in that serpent. Amen. In fact, you remember, and I didn't give you this last week, so, amen, let me interject it. I promise we're going to be done tonight. Amen. But you remember when they get down there in front of Pharaoh, amen, and Pharaoh, he's kind of scratching his head. And, amen. You remember what Moses did? He threw down his rod. Amen. And right there in Egypt's land, he threw it down and it became a serpent. And Pharaoh said, well, that ain't nothing. My magicians can do that. Amen. And they come down, they sure enough throw their rods down. Amen. And theirs became a serpent as well. Amen. But, amen, Moses, a serpent, amen, rod that had been turned into a serpent, devoured the other serpent, said, amen, and Moses reached down, picked it up right in the company, amen, of all that crowd that was worshiping the devil, amen, and he showed he wasn't afraid of their, amen, of their God. He wasn't afraid, amen, of the devil. He wasn't afraid of the serpent anymore, amen. Where does a man, where does a child of God, amen, get that kind of courage? Amen. You don't get that watching American Idol every week. Amen. You don't get that, amen, watching, my friend, Hollywood, and filling your soul with, amen, devilish things. You get that by spending time with God. Somebody help me now. Amen. Courage over the serpent. So we find there'll be a victory over Satan in our life. Number two, let's look at this second sign for a moment. Amen, or we are going to preach an hour and 10 minutes. I won't make it that long. I'll pass out before. Amen, so let's hurry on. Notice with me. Amen, in this second sign, what we're going to find is a cleansing of the skin. And so in the first sign, there is victory over Satan. But in the second sign, there is victory over the flesh. Notice with me, the Bible said, and the Lord said furthermore unto him. In other words, Moses, this ain't enough. Moses, there's more. There's more that you can draw out of this experience. Moses, you want a sign? You want some evidence? Amen. It'll be more than you being able to run around, pick up serpents by their tail, amen, without any fear and knowing that you have the victory. Amen. He said, Moses, what I want you to do is to take your hand and thrust it into thy bosom. Amen. And the Bible said he put his hand into his bosom. And the Bible said when he yanked his hand out just like that, hey, Brother Jack, it was leprous and white as snow. What a sight that must have been to Moses in that moment of time. Amen. That would have been a dreaded disease. That would have been a dreaded, literally a death sentence to be looking in leprosy. Amen. In its full mature state. We know this about leprosy. It starts out as a very small spot. Amen. But when Moses puts his hand into his bosom and pulls it out, it is not a small spot of leprosy. it. Amen. His entire hand is absolutely defiled and unclean to a mature case of leprosy. Amen. That must have, can we use some language the young folk maybe will understand, that must have freaked him out. What is God teaching Moses? I believe the placing of his hand into his bosom, the pulling it out and it being made unclean with leprosy. And what God is revealing here is that Moses had a heart problem. Amen. The hand, he could not see. Amen. The defilement of his hand, amen, until it got close to his heart. Amen. May I say Moses had a heart problem. Amen. It was this very hand that had slain a man in Exodus chapter number 2. Amen. It was this very hand that acted out in passion and in anger and in vengeance. Amen. And ahead of God in God's plan. Amen. In chapter number 2. And what God is revealing is Moses, amen, all that you have ever done defiling with your hands, it really goes back to being a heart matter. Can I say within us tonight dwells an Adamic fleshly nature. Your problem tonight is not your eyes or your hands or your feet or your ears. Amen. Our problem tonight lies within the fleshly nature that is in our heart. Somebody said, I ain't got no problems with my flesh. Amen. Amen. I can tell you one problem you have with your flesh, and that's lying. There ain't a person saved or lost here today that does not have a constant battle with their flesh. Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, he said, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other. The Apostle Paul testified and became very transparent in Romans in chapter number 7, stating, there are things I would not that I do. There are things that I would that I do not. And he finds himself in a quandary of sorts, that there is this dead man, there is this man of flesh, a man of decay, a man of uncleanness, a man that constantly seems to, amen, fall short of fulfilling the law of God. Amen. The law of sin, he said, is in my members. He said this as a child of God. Amen. The law of sin is in my members. And when I yield myself to that law of sin, amen, I find by my flesh I am serving myself. Amen. Oh, but I'm glad today. Amen. Paul didn't leave defeated. He didn't leave chapter 7 defeated. Amen. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this flesh. Amen. In other words, he said, if I'm going to have victory, if I'm going to have cleansing, if I'm going to straighten up after I've been struggling a little bit, I got to have some help from somebody else greater than me. He said, I thank Christ Jesus, my Lord. Amen. I thank Christ Jesus, my Lord. Paul, what are you saying? Paul is saying, amen, when I am away from the presence of God, amen, when I'm not living with God and have been with God as I should be, that's when I find that I'm struggling. But when I have been with Jesus, I find the victory that I need over this wretched man.
Amen.
Moses, put your hand in your bosom. God is teaching him, Moses, your hand. Moses would have pulled that out and thought, dear God, I have a problem with my hand. His problem was not his hand. His problem was down in his heart. God said, Moses, put your hand in your bosom again. I'd have been like, ain't no way. Nevertheless, at the word of the Lord, he done it. When he pulled it back, the Bible said it was clean and it was whole as the other. What is God teaching? That there must be a work of cleansing of our flesh within our heart by the cleansing power of God's presence. In his heart, Moses' hand was made clean. Amen. Oh, a dirty heart makes for a dirty hand, and a dirty heart makes for dirty eyes, and a dirty heart makes for dirty ears, and a dirty heart makes for unclean feet and unclean paths, and we find ourselves in. Amen. But when we've been with God, it is impossible to be with God and not receive a sanctifying and a consecration and a cleansing of the flesh that lies within our heart. When the heart is made clean, all the outward external things you think are your problem, all of a sudden you can conquer those things because of a cleansing that takes place on the inside. Yes, sir. Said, preacher, do you believe that? I believe it with all of my heart. I watch people spiritually be yo-yos and up and down and in and out because they are trying to deal with the externals. But Jesus said, it is not what goes into a man that defiles a man, but what comes out of a man that defiles a man. Our defilement goes deeper than what you can see. Is that right? So how do we get victory? How do we find cleansing of this matter of our flesh? You're going to have an encounter with God. Amen. You're going to have to quit feeding your fleshly heart, fleshly, wicked, sinful, leprous things. Start feeding it with God's word, God's standard. Start feeding it with righteousness and holiness. And my friend, get it down within the heart. Amen. Because what comes out of your heart, that's why Solomon said to his son, that's why he wanted his children to understand the warning that he gave. Brother Larry, guard, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The path young people follow in life is an evidence of where their heart is.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I'll let y'all argue about the term I'm getting ready to use. I'm too tired to debate it tonight. But that's why children of God will use the term when they backslide. Amen. When they backslide, when they get carnal, when they get cold and casual with their Christianity. Amen. You know where their heart is by the direction their feet are taking them. Amen. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
You see, the signs that we've been with God are not lapel buttons and badges and t-shirts and bracelets that we wear. It's in the practical everyday living of our life. You got any victory over the flesh? Amen. Cleansing of the skin. Courage over the serpent. Number three, conquering in the stream. So we have a battle, and we have seen thus far two parts of our threefold enemy, the threefold front the child of God is facing. We have a battle with Satan. We have a battle with the flesh. But in verse number 9, God said that if that ain't enough, amen, I'll give you a third sign, and you can do this one when you get down to Egypt. He said, Moses, when you get down there, go down to the river. Go down. Thou shalt take of the water of the river, pour it upon the dry land. In other words, he literally believes, best I can tell from studying, he is speaking of that Nile River that runs through Egypt. What he said is, I want you to take water out of there. Add the Egyptians to the Egyptians. Amen. The Nile, in their thinking and in their mindset, it was the source of all life. Amen. The Egyptians thought there is life in that river. Amen. In the Nile River. But you'll remember, amen, to the children of Israel, the people of God, the seed of Abraham. Amen. That in Exodus chapter number 1, Brother Jared, Amen. That the Nile, there was nothing about that that gave them life. In fact, the Nile was a very dangerous, watery grave to all their little baby boys. Pharaoh said, we're going to have to do something, people over there. They outgrowing us. What we'll do, we'll take their little male childs when they're born, and you take them and you cast them into the Nile River. Amen. That represents tonight, amen, the Egyptian system, the Egyptian way of thinking, literally had become a watery grave to Israel's baby boys, but God said it ain't going to be that way anymore. Moses, and by the way, Moses had been, amen, divinely and spiritually rescued from that fateful Nile River. See, he had a mom and daddy that feared the Lord. They said, Egypt may want to kill our babies, but it'll be over our dead bodies. Amen. Amen. We'll fight for our babies. We'll fight for our Moses. When Moses was born, they did all they could to conceal that. When they laid eyes on that little baby, they said, he's a goodly child. He's a goodly child. There's something, amen, about even as a baby, they seen the potential that Moses could be. His spirit-filled mama, amen, said, I tell you what we're going to do. She went down and she made a little ark out of the bulrushes. Said, amen, she pitched it. Said, amen, she sealed it all up. Said, amen, when her little Moses got too big to head. Amen, in that house. Said, amen, she committed him to that ark and set him in the Nile. Amen, and I'm telling you, Moses had been divinely and spiritually rescued because of some parents that, amen, was not going to let the world swallow up their baby boy. By the way, amen, we need some parents and grandparents that, amen, realize what this world is doing. Amen, it's a spiritually watery grave. Amen, that desires to annihilate our children. Amen, friend, to drown them spiritually. Amen, to rob them of the potential that God has for their life. Amen. What's it going to take to save our babies? Amen. It may take a spirit-filled mom and daddy or spirit-filled grandparent there to say, amen, that may be what the world has designed and desires to do. And I'll do everything I can to hide my children and to guard them and protect them from the elements that are so destructive. Amen. This ain't in the notes. I ought to be winding down right now. You young folk, you ought to thank God every day of your life. If you got a parent, amen, they're not perfect, but they're trying to do everything they can to guard you from the watery grave of this world. Don't be so foolish, think you know all the answers. Amen. Amen. Boy, I feel like preaching. Moses gets down there to Egypt. He said, now we want to, at God's command now, we want to go in the wilderness and take a 3-day journey and worship our God. Amen. Pharaoh said to Moses, he said, okay, we'll let you go. And y'all can do all that religious stuff you want to do, but you ain't taking your children with you. You leave your children here. Moses said, no deal. No deal. We didn't come down here for us to run out and us go all the way with God and leave our children here for you to teach them your ways. Right. Amen. Y'all been killing our babies for way too long. You've been introducing them to your little gods and your little Egypt way of doing things. No deal. We'll take our own children and we're going out there like God said we're supposed to do.
Amen.
I tell you, I don't know if them Israelite teenagers and children, amen, I don't know if they're like or unlike, amen, young people today, but if they had any God about them at all, amen, they should have been there saying, thank you, Moses. Thank you, Mom and Dad. Thank you for not leaving us down here. Thank you for showing us a way of deliverance. Thank you for, amen, standing against Egypt. Amen. Amen. See, we're living in a world they know, far as they know, amen, they are not getting me to go their way. I stand against everything this world's for. I'm a God-blessed thorn in their side. And anybody comes to this church and is worldly and carnally minded, I'm a thorn in their side too. I can't help it. I just ain't going that way. You do what you want to do. God called me and saved me to go all the way. But here's the compromise they want to make. You can do what you want to do. We know, Moses, we're not going to convince you otherwise. Just let us have influence on your babies. No.
Amen.
The moment we walk out of Egypt, our babies will be by our side. Somebody help me. Are you listening? Are you listening? That Nile represented, amen, a watery grave. No telling how much innocent blood had been taken in that Nile River. God said, now when you get down there, here's what I want you to do. You go down that Nile, you just scoop you a big old, you get you a big old bowl of it. You come up out of that Nile, you walk up there on dry land, and what you do, right in the front of all them elders of the children of Israel, you dump it out on dry ground. He said, when you do that, that water's going to turn to blood. Hallelujah. I'm about to have a spell, Daniel. You know what God is teaching them? Amen. Oh, it had been drowning. It had been taking so many lives. Amen. But God is saying the evidence that you have been with God. Amen. That I have appeared unto you, that you have been in my presence, is that you are going to have victory over the world. It will not drown you. It will not kill you. Amen. There'll be victory over all of that that represents your defeat. And by that water turning to blood, God is saying your victory is in the blood. Somebody help me. We're living in a world, buddy, that's wicked. They want to drown us. They want to drown our babies. They want to drown our church. Amen. What do we need? But Charlie, we need some children of God. Amen. That have been with God. That have been in the secret place. And have some experiences with God. Whereby, amen, they can arise and say, I will make my stand upon the blood of Christ and have victory over the world.
Amen.
I'm tired of seeing God's people drown.
Amen.
It is wearing me out. Tired of watching people, you try and show them and point them in the right way. They're so eat up and drawn to this world, don't even know they are swimming in their own grave.
Right.
I just can't help it. I just don't see nothing wrong. That's because you're an idiot. Y'all didn't like that, did you? Just be honest about it. Anytime we think we know more than that book says, mark it down. That's what you are. You're being an idiot. Your victory does not lie in how you try to figure things out. Your victory over this world does not lie in your know-how, in your manipulation. Your victory over the world, it lies in depending upon the blood of Christ and living your life by the Word of God.
Amen.
Moses said, how are they going to know you've appeared to me? He said, oh, when you get down there, they're going to see you reach down in that Nile River and pour that out, and it turned to blood, and they're going to know their days of drowning you and your babies are over.
Amen.
Signs that you've been with God. Victory over the devil. Victory over the flesh. Victory over the world. Is that right? Boy, we need that. Boy, we need that. I'm not a mean preacher. And I shoot straight with you. I just speak plain so you and you leave here. You don't go out here scratching your head, Brother Randall, going, I wonder what he really believes. You know what I believe. You have heard it clear and plain tonight.
Amen.
Amen. I try not to be a jerk, Xander. I don't ever want to be a jerk. But I'm going to tell you, Brother Mo, there is a need in this day. Children of God, to live a life of victory. We're getting pounded on every side by these three enemies. This time, God's children say, enough's enough. Lord, let me have an experience with you that changes who I am. Did you hear what I just said? God, let me have some experiences with you that will change who I am.
Amen.
Oh, that's right. It's the last time you've been changed because you've been in the presence of God. Amen. Can I show you one thing? My voice is gone. My body's tired. My head's hurting. My back's hurting. Don't y'all feel sorry for me? I preached so long and hard today. Can I give you one more point? Two more points. Can I do two more points? How is all this done in Moses' life? Now God's saying, here's the signs I'm going to give you. And he explains all that. But Brother Mark, he has to respond to the word he's been given.
That's right.
He can't go, I'm just in God's presence and all, and wing it. It requires a response.
Amen.
Throw that rod down. Pick that serpent up. Put your hand in your bosom. Pull it out. Do it again. Walk down in the Nile. Get some water. Everything requires Moses to respond to the word he's been given.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody look up here. Give you the three signs, but we could boil it all down to the evidence we've been with God is we're responding to the word he's given. Not, don't get mad at me now. I ain't trying to be mean. I ain't trying to be a jerk. Some of y'all have been in the same spiritual condition you are tonight for years. Because you quit responding to God's word. Somewhere along the way, you didn't think you needed it. Somewhere along the way, you thought you had all the answers. And you have been stuck in a place of, let's be honest about it now. Now you can walk the dog and trot the pony all around the church and impress all of us. But ma'am, when you go home and you look yourself in the mirror, and sir, when you go home and you look at yourself in the mirror in the morning and shave your face, you'll have to look at yourself and be honest whether or not you have the evidence that you've been with God. Look with me in the end of chapter number 4. I'm done. Boy, we're a lot more quiet this evening than we was this morning, ain't we? That's why I love our church. Amen. Can I just brag on y'all a minute? So you might as well. You done beat us down. Amen. Well, let me pump you back up. I love our church because we can come in this morning and preach, woo, Jesus, and get all in the glory and have a fit. Sissy walked out of here, and she is at the ball game, right? Like yesterday she said, this was better than that ball game.
Amen.
I said, I know that's right. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Then we can come back tonight and, amen, get kind of poked on and go, yeah, we sure do need that.
Amen.
I love that about our church. Amen. I wouldn't give you your grandma's used dip of snuff. Amen. For these churches always got to have it high or always got to be beating on everybody. Amen. Why can't we just let God arrange the atmosphere? Yo, God knows. See, because God knows where we're at, Brother Mark. He knows what we needed this morning. He knows what we needed tonight. Amen. But notice this, verse number 29, and Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. We're in Egypt now. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses. Watch this, and did the signs. Is that what your King James Bible said? And did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. Moses goes down to Egypt to them struggling, broken back, burdened down children of Israel. And Brother Jack, when he gets around him, them signs start coming out of his life. And what that did to those people that were struggling, Brother Bob, it sparked something in their heart that gave them hope and moved them to worship and glorify God.
Amen.
Don't tell me what I'm preaching tonight is unimportant. It is important that every one of us strive to live a life that we have the evidence, we have experiences, we've been with God. Because there are people that are beat down and burdened. And when they get around us, they need to see, hey, it is possible to have victory over the devil. It is possible to have victory over the flesh. It is possible, yea, even probable, to have victory over the world. When all these were done, Candy, it wasn't Moses that they worshipped and glorified. It was God. But Mike, it was God that they began to worship. You know what I want folk to be able to do? You know what I want my life to be? A life for when people get around me, when my ministry touches them, my life touches them, my witness touches them, is that it moves them to look to God again.
Amen.
It's what I'm desiring. I'm not saying I'm successful at it. I'm not saying I'm living up to the pinnacle of everything I ought to be and what I preach. But Brother Larry, it is my desire that my life would be lived to bring honor and glory to the Lord and cause others to say, if God can help him and give him experiences and put those evidences of victory in his life, I need to get to that God and get a little bit of what he's got.
Amen.
Amen.
When people get around your... Let's put it this way. When people get around your life and see your Christianity, do they want what you got?
Right.
Do they want what you have? Is there something in them they go, man, they have something, they are tapped into something that is helping them that I need to help me? Or do they go, man, that Jesse, he grumbles and murmurs and complains about everything. He talks just like the rest of us. He has the same bad attitude as the rest of us. Boy, y'all think Jesse's a terrible guy when I get done, don't you? He is. He's a scoundrel. Or do they look at Jesse's life and go, there's something different about him. Something different about him. And it ain't a t-shirt. And it ain't some grand announcement he's made. There's just something different about him. You get around him, he talks about God and promises and... Sure, probably need to know that God myself. Boy, I wish we had that kind of impact in our own life. Amen. Amen. Well, I told y'all I'd get it done. It took me an hour. Not even an hour. Somebody say, man, I didn't even take an hour. Y'all looked like it took two, but it wasn't even one. Amen. Why don't we do this? Can we stand? I've tried to give you my heart all day long. I try to do that every time we preach. But maybe tonight we need to spend some time. Maybe there's an aspect of our threefold warfare we're in that you're struggling in. Maybe it's the devil. Maybe it's the world. Maybe it's your own flesh. Maybe it's all three. You just need to come get on the altar and say, Lord, would you help me? Would you help me to have courage and cleansing? And help me, Lord, to live in that conquering, more than conqueror spirit and attitude and victory you saved me to have. Amen. Amen.